message, failing to become sons of God. Now, with that title and with that message, we will need to see that I brought it, that reading scripture out of Hosea, where he says, "Yet the number of children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured, none numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said of them, 'You are not my people,' he said, 'unto them it shall be said, Ye are the sons of the living God.'" Now, this is not a contradiction, and this is not God changing his word. And it builds up on what I've been preaching about and teaching about. And like I say, you have to be able to follow or not forsake the assembling together of yourselves to keep up, because I can't recapitulate and go over everything we've gone over. It has to be word upon word, precept upon precept, line upon line. So when I'm teaching or preaching, you have to keep that, and God give you the power to recall it and make it become part of your lives, and you assimilate that. So we're in the book of Isaiah, the first chapter, and this may be the last one I pull out of the first chapter for a while, but I wanted to go over where he says in first chapter of Isaiah, the 2nd through the 31st verse, where, because he was saying that his people no longer knew him. They have not known him. Now, see, that's part of the problem. Without knowing God, we couldn't be his children. Each child knows his parent, and each child has the characteristics of his parent, and that's why God says, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness." That will be done. So Jesus Christ said, "All that the Father giveth to me, none shall be lost. None shall be lost. He shall not lose any." So if we fail to become the sons of God, that meant we never were part of the one that was given to Christ by Jesus Christ, by our Lord and Savior, by God the Father. Because he gave the Son exact number, and none of them shall be lost. So those that were lost or failed to become sons of God, they were false professors. They were ones that did the works of God. But see, we're not saved by works. We're not saved by works. So why? Thus Jesus says, in the latter days, many shall come to me and say, "Lord, Lord, hadn't we done this in my name, your name, and hadn't we cast out devils in your name? Hadn't we fed the sick and the needy in your name?" And he shall say to them, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. I never knew you." So that's how they failed to become sons of God, because they were never chosen. They might have been called, but it'd be many a call and only a few chosen. So there, as I was telling the preacher out there this morning, that there are many people that are in the church that may be called but are not chosen. There are many people that profess Christ in the church that has to be weeded and purged out of the church. So it says, in as we open up there, "The ox knoweth his owner, the ass his master's crib, but Israel doeth not know, my people doeth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, they have all gone astray." Sounds like a generic statement there. But he's talking about Israel, in the Old Testament, people that were chosen of God. Now that was our example, that they were chosen of God. Now Hosea was contemporary with Isaiah. Hosea preached to those people in the northern kingdom. He said a seed of evildoers. We have to think about that in the New Testament, when Jesus Christ came and the Pharisees came to him and said, "Abraham was our father." But he says, "Abraham couldn't have been your father because you go about trying to kill me. If Abraham was your father, you would love me." Abraham was the father of those of faith.
That's what they were lacking, a trust or confidence in God. They trusted in themselves, and they didn't know who God was. They went about to kill him. They didn't have the characteristics of the children of God. That certain characteristics of the parent. That's what I tell you, the child is in the image of the parent. That's why God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. Now, they have a form of godliness. That's what this physical body is. Man was made physical first, and that which is physical is first. That's why I say we have a physical earth. And this is my first point, not his people. So that he made man in his image and in his likeness. They had a form of godliness, but they didn't have that power in the beginning. They wasn't complete in the beginning. That's why when he put them out of the garden, he says, let's put man out of the garden unless he eat of the tree of life and live forever in this state, knowing good and evil. So that meant man had to die. But we that are born of God, we that are children of God, we have eternal life. We won't die. We need to believe that he had given us eternal life. We could understand those preachings and teachings because we are the sons of God. The ones that are not his people, they couldn't enter in. They couldn't become children of God, even though right now there are many of people in the churches. There are many people married to one another. There are many of people out there, but they are not your true relatives. They are not the children of God. So I say, he says, one will be taken and one left. Your enemies could be those of your own household. Together we are put here as man. All mankind is one. And that we are all of the flesh. Like Christ came in the flesh. But he said we no longer know him after the flesh. So we're united brothers of the flesh. But then there's a spiritual kindred. We know that there's a spiritual kindred because when they came to Jesus Christ and he was teaching and preaching, they say, your brothers and your mother is out here to see you. He says, who is my brother? Who is my mother and my sister? And he kind of, I imagine he gestured with his hand and looked around and waved around and said, those that do the will of my Father, those are my brother, father, and my mother, brothers, and sisters. In other words, those that was obedient to God's word. Those that was walking in the way. That's why when he told Hosea to go marry Gomer, Gomer was a harlot. She was a prostitute. He wanted Hosea to feel what he feels. That's why we have to be able to feel what God's feeling. And the only one who can do that was Jesus Christ. See, because God doesn't have feelings. God speaks and says those in words, anthropomorphic terms, in other words, that we can understand, but you can't affect God. You can't. Anything you do doesn't affect God. He's all powerful. But Jesus Christ can be felt with the feelings of your infirmities because he was a man. He became a man. It takes a man to do those things, and that's why he was born. That's why he came into the world to suffer as a man. Not as God, but he suffered as a man. Watch that theology that people was tell you that Jesus Christ was God. If he wasn't man, we have no example. Because when he said, follow me, if he couldn't die, it really wasn't a test. If he didn't suffer hunger, and the Bible says he suffered hunger. A God can't suffer. He suffered to enter in. And he was remained obedient unto God. That's our example. No matter what happens to us, we have to remain obedient unto Jesus Christ, unto God. He was our example. Now, if he was different from us, that's why he was made just like us as a brother. That's why he had to die, because without that ability to die, he wouldn't be like us and we would fear death. But that's why he tells us, fear not death. Fear God. Our faith and trust has to be in what Jesus told us that lines up with the word of God, and that fear him that can destroy the whole body, mind and soul, and spirit in hell. So we no longer fear death. The grave has no victory over us. See, but the one that he's talking to
they couldn't understand this. You remember the promise I told you he made to Abraham? The enter into his rest. They couldn't enter into that rest because of lack of faith. Lack of trusting and believing God. Now, it wasn't just in words, but you remember I said obedience unto them, obeying God?
Yeah.
See, Moses didn't obey God completely, and no man can do that. Only the Spirit of God, through the Spirit of God, can we do that. So when Moses disobeyed God and struck the rock instead of speaking to it as God told him to speak to the rock, it prevented him from entering into the promised land. Because he didn't obey God. Now he knew God, he was the greatest prophet it was, but in this one point here, he disobeyed God and smoked the rock instead of speaking to the rock. It caused him not to enter into the promised land, and God was firm on that. I'll let you see it, but you can't enter in. God was firm there because he said, don't ask me about this anymore. Hebrews 4:1-2 says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come up short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, when the good news was promised of the promised land came to them. But the words preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. In other words, the spies had heard that God says, go in and you can conquer the land, but they didn't have faith in God. They looked with their eyes. That was what they could see. They seen the enemies larger than them and stronger than them. That was the powers that be. See, no matter how long of bondage you've been in, the pain pill and the stuff you've been taking in life, there is something greater and powerful than this. And it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by God's Spirit. Through His Spirit, you can overcome those things that have had you in bondage all your life. Through Jesus Christ, I can do all things. So that's how that we can enter into those promises through hope, love, and faith. Without hearing, you can't. That's how faith cometh, by hearing. They heard the word of God, but it didn't profit them because they didn't mix that with doing. They didn't mix that with living and having hope in Christ. They didn't mix that with love. That's where the problem lies today, that man doesn't have the faith that he say he has. So, the sons of God. My second point. Certain characteristics of the sons of God. It says, many as led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Many of those that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Those who are allowing themselves to be led by the Spirit of God and he who overcomes the world through believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he who keeps my deed, he keeps my deeds. In other words, doing those things that pleases me until the very end, to him will I give authority and power over the nations. Those are the sons of God. Those are the ones that he said are his sons. So, those that he was saying was a sinful nation. They was corruptors. In other words, they was corrupting other people by their actions, by their doings, by their words. And as they were corrupting others, that's why we have to be careful in all we say and do. That's all why we have to abstain from appearances of evil, but we also have to stand as standard bearers and examples of those who follow Jesus Christ, that are led by his Spirit. He gives us that power. He said we were going to be endued with power from on high. He had given us that power to overcome. They were estranged from God. Let's read that back again in the first chapter there where he says that. He says, our sinful nation, laden with iniquity, my children, for the Lord has spoken and have nourished up and brought up the children, and they have rebelled against me. In other words, they hadn't been obedient unto me. They was enemies to the power of religion, and yet seemed very zealous and had a form of religion. They had a form, but God says they didn't know him. Look what they was doing, he says. They were going to church. He says, when you come before me, who required this of you, this trampling of my temple courts by your sinful feet? Do not bring worthless offerings again. Your incense is repulsive to me, your new moons and Sabbaths observances, the calling of assemblies, I cannot endure wickedness. Your sin, your injustice, your wrongdoing, and the squalor of the festive assembly. I hate the hypocrisy of your new moons and festivals and your appointed feasts. They have become a burden to me. I'm weary of bearing them. So when you spread out your hands in prayer, pleading for my help, I will hide my eyes from you. When you offer, even though you offer up many prayers, I will not be listening, for your hands are full of blood. Now, as he was talking to the people, those among them that he had said wasn't his people, they would, that remnant would become his people. But he was talking to the church, or to his people in general, just like today, to the church in general. And in Revelations, he said he was going to fight against the church, that he was going to purge the church of the rebels among them, those that were not obedient to his word. Now, he called it their feast, their offering, and all these things that they were doing, because they wasn't doing it because of being led by the Spirit. They were doing it through ritual, through social interactions, but they no longer had the love of God or knew of God. They had no knowledge of him. So these things was of them. They were fleshly or carnal. Thus, he says, they were their own. He called them their feasts, their Sabbaths, their offerings, their prayers. He says he wasn't going to even hear. And we know God hears prayers. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So God hears prayers. He's a prayer-hearing God. That's one of the foundations. He says, when they cry unto me, I will hear. When Solomon erected the temple, that's one of the things he said in the temple, that when they cry unto me, whatever scattered lands they be in, wherever they are, I'll hear when they cry. A parent hears his child's cries. But these people had become not his people. Hosea's wife had several children, but he says some were his people, but some of them that he says were not his people. We look at the Gentiles in the Old Testament. Those were not God's people. Israel were God's people. But he had given Christ as a light unto the Gentiles, and now he's saying Abraham's seed would be from all nations. It says it's going to be as the sand of the seashore, but yet he was going to destroy the majority in Israel. So he's going to destroy the majority in the church, but a remnant shall be left that would multiply, that would bring forth the true offerings of God. Yes. So the people, they had a form of religion. And that's what we have today. That's why I say, you have to be circumspect unto the people today. The people have a form of religion. But with that form of religion, they deny the power thereof. Let's read that 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter of 2 Timothy. The first through the ninth verse. He says, you may well as know this, that in the latter days, the spirit, there would be seducing spirits. In other words, spirits would come in, breaking down, joining the church. Satan ministers would be transformed into angels of light. It would be difficult to be a Christian during those times. The difficulty would be so great that we would have to distinguish, we would have to walk circumspectly, because there'll be many a wolves in sheep's clothing among God's people. Those from within the church would rise up doing wrong. He said, for people will love only themselves and their money. They would be proud, boastful, sneering at God, disobedient to parents, ungrateful to people, ungrateful to their parent, ungrateful to other people. Thoroughly bad, in other words, covetous, blasphemous, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. They would be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. In other words, they would be in the physical body. They would have religious observances, just like the Pharisees did. He says, you honor me with your mouth, but your heart's way away from me. See, you could give money, you can do things, but your heart be not right with God. You may not love your brother. You can't love God and hate your brother. That's why he puts that in there. He says, even love your enemies. Love those that despitefully use you. We have to follow that example. You remember I said we have to follow after Christ. We have to be his disciples. So as a man, he did that. Those that were out to kill him, but he still preached to them. He says, you're not of Abraham. If you're of Abraham, you would do the works of Abraham. In other words, you have faith in God along with those works of deeds that you're doing. They would be hard-headed and never give in to others. They would be constant liars and troublemakers and would think normal, nothing of immorality. And as I said, he said, our sinful nation, this is a very immoral nation. The Speaker of the House was saying how immoral that this person was, that would, they was talking about in building the wall, and she was saying that it was immoral and building the wall. And some things that we're doing, we don't realize that mixed with politics, that we say politics and religion is separated. You can't separate any portions of your life. We got to live by every word of God. The same way we live and talk about in here, we have to do that outside of here. We have to do it in our homes. We have to do it everywhere. So we can't separate religion and politics. Our lives are one. It's who we are all the time. That's what it is. So it says, let's continue to walk along here. They will be rough and cruel and sneer at those who try to be good. They will betray their friends. They will be hot-headed, puffed up with pride. They will go to church, yes, but they won't really believe anything that they hear. He told Ezekiel, he said, they come to church and hear my word, but they're not going to do it. So you have to be a doer of God's word. You have to consistently do God's word. He's imprinting it up on your heart and you grow thereby. He says, don't be taken in by people like that. They are the kind who craftily sneak into other people's homes and make friendships with silly, sin-burdened women and teach them their new doctrines. Women of that kind are forever following new teachers, but they never understand the truth. They never come to that knowledge of the truth. And these teachers fight truth just as Jannes and Jambres fought against Moses. They have dirty minds, warped and twisted, and have turned against the Christian faith. But they won't get away with this at all. Someday their deceit will be well known to everyone as the sin of Jannes and Jambres was. So God is going to expose these people. The works of the Christian, the true Christian, that's what, why we are light. We should expose these things. No matter who it is, and no matter, we shouldn't show nepotism or partiality. Wherever sin is, we need to point it out. We need to let that light so shine that men would see that light and give God the glory. And salt hadn't lost the savoriness, that thing that salt is a preservative of. Salt is, we like salt of the earth. We preserve the things of the earth. But if it's lost its savor, it's no more good. Nothing but to be cast out. So we shouldn't be just passive people getting along, letting people trample on us. We should be out there fighting this warfare for God. But we have to learn how to fight. See, sometimes you could be overzealous. It is those who do the works without knowledge. You remember Jehu? I told you about Jehu. Remember, Jehu is the one that drove the chariot viciously. He killed Ahab and Jezebel. Now, he did the works of God, but it wasn't because he really loved God. He wasn't a God-fearing man. You know, there are a lot of people, that's what I say. They'll feed the needy, they'll preach the word of God. False prophets supposed to preach the word of God. That's why so many televangelists and people today, they're not preaching the word of God because God had sent them. God said, I hadn't sent these people, they sent themselves. It was like the ones that was going along and were preaching the gospel, and God says, Peter says, one of the sons of thunder says, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to destroy them? And Jesus said, let them alone. Now, you don't know what manner of spirit you are. You're going around here wanting to kill people about preaching or teaching the gospel. You're just as bad as they are. You know, if we go around killing people that doing abortion and doing these wicked things, we're just as wrong because God says thou shalt not kill. So we have to know the book of Romans, the 10th chapter. Listen at this. It says, for I bear them record. I know what enthusiasm they have for the honor of God, but it is misdirected zeal. It is having a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they don't understand that Christ has died to make them right with God. Instead, they go around trying to make themselves good enough to gain God's favor by keeping the Jewish laws and customs. And they go around doing all these things, but that is not God's way of salvation. We, by faith, help establish the laws. We don't make people keep the Sabbath. We keep the Sabbath through faith. But we're not legalistic by this. I was just telling the preacher this morning. He said he believed in the Sabbath. I said, well, that's good you believe in the Sabbath. I said, but we're not legalists now. Because there are some times that we don't meet on Saturday mornings. There are different things sometimes that prohibit us from meeting on Saturday morning. Well, we'll have church on Sunday or some other day or whatever. The church of the New Testament church, they met every day. They met daily expounding the word of God. But through faith, we help establish God's laws. We voluntarily, we want to follow God's law. So we're meeting this morning because we want to meet, because that's what God's word says. They don't understand that Christ gives to those who trusted him everything that they are trying to get by keeping his laws. So he gives us that ability to walk through the power of his grace to do what he said do. Not by our works. We're trusting in that we're trying to please God and that he makes the way. Amen. We're not making the way. Now, this nation has brought all the religious offerings and things and the prayers, but he says he wasn't going to hear them. Why? He says, because your hands are full of blood. See, you can't do wrong and expect God to hear you. You first have to purge yourself. You have to be clean. You have to wash first. You have to make sure before you do this, you have to have clean hands to serve the Lord. They oppressed under the guise of justice, but they hated their brothers in the heart. This whole thing with the governmental shutdown has went on 35 days. And it ended last night, yesterday, when he called the press conference. Through this, it achieved nothing. They said achieved nothing, but it manifests a lot to the people of God. The people of God should have saw and see, because God's people grow toward God through experiential knowledge. In other words, by going through seeing the devil manifest and the things manifest. So when he capitulated yesterday, they signed the same bills that he could have signed 35 days ago. And it wouldn't have caused hardship on others. But it's easy. Like they was talking about his Commerce Secretary, Agricultural Secretary, whatever, Wilbur Ross, that was saying the people could go out and make loans or whatever. You see, that's why I said Jesus Christ became a man, because He could empathize or sympathize with the people. He knew what the people were feeling. You remember I said God couldn't feel, but Jesus Christ, we have a high priest that's touched by the feelings of our infirmities, our shortcomings, or what we experience. That's why we pray to him. That's why prayer and supplications is made to the Father who has all power, but it's made in Jesus' name because he knows what we're going through. Yeah. He's been a man. This administration that the president has put in, like they say, you can't sympathize because you never were in that position. You were born with a silver spoon in your mouth. Millions and millions of dollars his father gave him, and that he didn't give to him or loan to him, he welched out of him and tried to change his will or whatever. This guy, Wilbur Ross, he doesn't know when you go out and make another bill, if you live in week to week and then you get another bill, you're in horrible shape, whereas if you would have did the right thing in the first place, we wouldn't have been in this condition to prove a point or whatever. So we have to see that as a nation, when this come upon a nation, and then you ask us to let's get together for National Prayer Day and all this. Now God says redeeming the time because the days are evil. And then he told Jeremiah at one point, don't pray for this people. And we see where he told Isaiah himself, he says, now, I'm not going to hear them. He says that they're not going to be able to understand. They're not going to be able to hear. Well, if you see somebody going through vanity, repetition stuff, and they're praying, and God already said, now, you could offer up many prayers. You could pray all you want and offer all and say how Christian you are or whatever, but I never knew you. I'm not listening at your prayers. So as people within the nation are getting prayers through, but as a nation, he says he was going to destroy this sinful nation. He was going to destroy those that was not of God. They were hypocritical, and God, that's one of the worst things. He said, I'll deal with the hypocrite. God deals with the hypocrite. So my third point and last point is obedience through suffering. That's how we get to know God. That's how we get to know God. That's how one of the things, a handicap or affliction or something, that's how we fit to get close to God then. We're about to get close because that's what Jesus did. He suffered. By me hurting my knee and going through some physical ailments or different things in life or rejection sometime with your children or different people, you start learning people then. I'm sure that a lot of the hardships you've gone through, it makes you know better. You know people better. And then that God will never leave you or forsake you. Verse 5 through 8. Oh, my people, haven't you had enough of punishment? Why will you force me to whip you again and again? Must you forever rebel? From head to foot, you are sick and weak and faint, covered with bruises and welts, and infected with wounds. Unanointed and unbound, your country lies in ruins. Your cities are burned while you watch foreigners are destroying and plundering everything they see. You stand there helpless and abandoned like a watchman's shanty in the field when the harvest time is over, or when the crop is stripped and robbed. I don't know. You have sons or whatever, but you didn't have. You see and heard parents whipping a child and they're doing all the, and say, I can't do anything because I've beaten him so much and he never learned. Have you then had financial mistakes and things you made? See, through the mistakes, the experiential knowledge we have through from going through the suffering, the things we do, it's insanity to keep repeating those things over and over. That's why you stop doing them. You don't do them anymore. But he says, hadn't they had enough? Hadn't the consequences of sin and rebellion been on them so long that they hadn't woken up to what's going on? That they hadn't learned that every sin and transgression will receive it just recompense or reward? In almost 40 years I've been married, I've had my lights turned off one time in when I was younger. But after that, I learned, I said, now hold on. If I don't go in and pay energy, if I don't pay Gulf States, if you're just a few dollars short, click up. Now you got to pay 2 months rent, plus another deposit or security deposit or whatever. So whatever go on, I'll make sacrifices and things, because if I don't pay them, it's going to be hard to catch up from that. So if God keep allowing you, if you're not doing right by God and God's showing you his word and this is where I'm being wrong at, I'm not following God here. You remember when Josiah found the book and he says, here's the problem, here's why we're going through. We've transgressed God's laws. We're not doing what God had told us to do. That's why all of this is coming up on us. That's why, see, the people that are not his people, the ones that keep doing this, their bill's not going to ever be paid because they never learn. Some people never learn. They married three or four different people. They never learn. Maybe you're not right for marriage. Things are always happening, but they never say, it might be my fault. Let me go examine myself. Maybe everybody else is not wrong. Maybe it's something I'm not doing right. So as we see what kind of people we are, that we have transgressed against God, the reason all these things have happened to us, that's what Gideon said. Well, if we be God's people, why are all these things happening to us? That's what Habakkuk said. Well, why, Lord, if we're your people, why are you allowing people worse than us to do us this? He finally found out. He said, you know what? Even though the plum tree don't yield, the olive tree don't yield its fruit, even though none of this happened, the just shall live by faith. So whatever is going on, you still have to learn, as Job had to learn through suffering. Look how much he had to suffer before he learned that God is God and we don't question what God is doing. We just go through and learn to obey God and walk in whatever God's doing. You remember Daniel when he went back and studied and read the books and it was coming time for them to leave captivity up on that 70 years according to what Jeremiah had said? That he came back and he read and he prayed to God and said, we have sinned. We hadn't walked in there. He didn't say that they hadn't sinned. Now, Daniel's name was mentioned among those that was righteous. He said, even though the prayer of Daniel and Noah would he said he wouldn't hear any of those prayers. So Daniel was among the righteous that God was saying that he would hear. God heard Daniel when he prayed. So Daniel himself, he wasn't like Habakkuk. He wasn't like Job saying, why is this happening to me? He said, we've sinned. And see, the Bible tells us we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. When you start seeing yourself for what you are and start being obedient unto God, now those that he says not his people become his people. Because now they're doing that which is pleasing unto God. Some people still blame other people and they're still walking in idolatry and unbelief and all these other things. Hebrews 5:7-10. He says, at another time God said to him, you have been chosen to be a priest forever with the same rank as Melchizedek. Yet while Christ was here on earth, he pleaded with God. In other words, he prayed to God with fervent tears as those sweat was coming out his blood. He says, praying with tears and agony of soul to the only one who would save him from this death. And God heard his prayers because of his strong desire to obey God at all times. God heard him. He was praying. And he says, this is the obedience as praying. And I know the horrible death I'm about to die. And I'm praying, God, Father, I've done all you asked me to do. I always obey you. He says, if it is as all possible, let this cup pass from me. Now earlier, he had already told his disciples, shouldn't he drink of the cup that God had given him? See, we have to go through the calamity and the trouble that God has placed us there. He's going to be right with us in this fiery fire. But the testing of our faith is what he's trying to show to us. He already knows this. But that's what's precious. Do you have faith as the three Hebrew boys to go in the fiery furnace without bowing to the world, without bending and compromising, being able to come out of Babylon? He says, nevertheless, if it's any other way, but nevertheless, thy will be done. I'm going to be obedient whatever you say. Whatever you say. See, we have to learn that obedience. Whatever comes in our life, no matter how few people in this church, and I was thinking about y'all this morning, and I said, those that stick with me, those are my brothers and sisters. My wife's at home sick this morning, and, you know, like I said, she had surgery the other day on her arm and leg or whatever, and she's suffering. But sometimes God uses that destruction of the flesh, those infirmities and those things, that he brings us closer to him.
Yeah.
Sister Jackson, one thing I can say about her, she's always going to be here when she's able to be here, even when she's sick and not feeling bad, you know, not feeling well. When she gets her money, she's always going to pay her tithes and offerings. And she's always, if you notice, a lot of times you don't even know she's here. She won't even say much or whatever. She won't, you know, women should be as Sarah, he said, with a quiet spirit, not contentious. You see a lot of women fighting and in the streets and arguing with their husbands and different things or whatever. See, a woman should learn, it says, to be in submission. It doesn't say honor and obey in Genesis. He says, your husband should bear rule over you. So, in other words, God has put her in a place of submission. But notice that when he comes back in the New Testament, Paul was preaching, says, submit yourselves to one another. Submit, husbands, love your wives. So, you know, most of the chores, most of the things around my house is done by me now, because that's you love and honor in sickness and health. See, you being obedient to the word of God. God's watching over it. Now, whether it's my relatives, my brothers, or whatever, if they're not here or they're not following God, I'm going to say, now, I don't know how far behind me they are. You know, that's why sometimes you can tell a person's test about what they're doing or how they're going out of the way or whatever. That's why you're dedicated to God. You're not dedicated to people. Because people will let you down. Sometimes people just riding on the wagon. They're not pulling their loads anyhow. It says, and even though Jesus was God's son, listen at this one. He had to learn from experience what it was like to obey, when obeying meant suffering. It was after he had proved himself perfect in this experience of suffering, in other words, dying, laying down his life willingly, that Jesus became the giver of eternal salvation to all those who obey him. So he had to obey to learn to put people under submission unto him. So we should learn to obey God. God is our head. Jesus Christ is of that Godhead. He's the fullness of the Godhead. That's why I say, if you continue in my word, I'm that example of going into death. I didn't curse. I didn't revile those who had hung me on the cross. I prayed. I said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was obedient even to death. Are we going into obedience unto death? A lot of our women, are we obeying the one who has rule over us? Are you not obedient to your husband? Because if not, God won't hear your prayer. He tells us that. That we should be obedient, that God will hear our prayer. Are y'all obedient to the one that's telling y'all and teaching y'all God's word? He says, obey those who have rule authority over you. Are you praying? You know, I prayed for the Speaker of the House. I've been praying for her and the Senate Minority Leader. And I pray for our mayor. I pray for different people. I pray for our president or whatever. See, but people don't understand what prayer is. Prayer is not calling down blessings and money down on people. You know, a prayer is that, God, would you teach this person to walk in your will? God, would you teach this person to lead us in peace? God, would you watch between me and this individual? This guy that I told you that borrowed my jacket or whatever and never returned it or whatever, he's found his way into my prayer all the time. I'm not praying that God would bless him and give him all kinds of good things and things. I say, God, I'm remitting this back unto you. You knew what I paid for my jacket. You knew what it cost me. You know when I needed it or whatever, and that my neighbor gave me his jacket. You see these things. I'm putting this in your hands as to what he did for me, did to me. But it was you that told me to love my neighbor. When I see him in the middle of the road having a problem, his car is broken down or whatever, that I get up out of my bed and go personally out there to help him and let him use my jack to get out of the street and tell him or use it to go home in case your car breaks down, you still have a way to jack it back up. But then when he don't return it, and I put two or three notes on his car saying, I need my jack, after that time I told my neighbor, I said, well, you know, that was the second admonition or whatever. I went by his house and I left notes. He said, oh, neighbor, you could have my, here's a jack. And he gave me a stronger jack, one that picks up another half ton more than that. So you could have, that's your jack now. I'm blessing you with that. So I put him in God's hands. I've left that alone. But I prayed to God with prayer and supplications that he don't do this to somebody else, that you handle this, God, because I don't know how to handle it. I wouldn't go down there and shoot nobody over a jack or get myself shot at or argue over a $40 jack. But God, you see these things there in your hand. I did what you told me to do. It was like the Samaritan that had picked this guy up. The priest crossed over on the other side. I had a neighbor that goes to a church around the corner, one of the largest churches in our neighborhood. He said, yeah, I don't help people. I don't do that. You can't help people. Well, the word of God tells me don't grow weary of well-doing. Just because one person don't treat you right, don't you stop doing good deeds. Don't you grow weary. He said he was made a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Well, he says he made us a royal priesthood. We're priests. So we should teach others and we should live as Christ lived. Just like he had was a priest, we're in preparation for the same thing, that he's making us priests. He says he'll put us over nations. He'll put us over people. We would inherit the heathen. So if we can't practice that and prepare for that now, walking right, because he says the kingdom of heaven is among you. That's why we pray our Father. We're able to because he is our Father. Some people can't pray that prayer. That's why I say that's not just a prayer to be prayed out in open in church. You don't see him telling people as a general rule, pray that prayer. You see, it was when he got to the disciples, he told them, he says, y'all pray our Father. See, because some of them, he says, God is not your Father. Your Father is the devil. We learn proper knowledge of Jesus Christ through the fellowship of his suffering. Remember, I told you that's why he told some of them he never knew them. Because some people do things because they got money. They can help people. They help out. But they don't have to love you. People could give you thousands of dollars, a million dollars, but they don't have to love you. See, that's why a lot of rich parents err. They say, well, they did everything. They bought their child cars. They did this. They did everything for that child. But they didn't actually love the child. You thought that person's love could be bought. You think giving people money and things? Old song I heard when I was growing up in the 60s. It was by the Beatles. They said, money can't buy me love. Can't buy me love. Money cannot buy me love. So no matter how much money, Solomon says, he that loveth silver won't be satisfied with silver. See, Solomon had all these wives, but he was never satisfied. 700 wives and 300 concubines, and he said he hadn't found a good woman. He didn't realize the problem lied with him, and God had told him in the beginning, he had said, Solomon, these women are going to draw your heart away from me. See, once your heart is away from God, now you have an unsatiable lust. You can't be satisfied. But once you're in love in God, and God gives you peace, he gives you joy, he gives you love. You remember I said, hope, faith, and love never faded. They never go away. They'll always be there. But he didn't learn the love of God. That's why he wrote, vanity of vanity, all is vain. Paul says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. He says, I once thought these things were very worthwhile. He says, now throw them all away so that I can put my trust and hope in Christ alone. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared to the priceless gain of knowing Jesus Christ. So I can come to church and pray and worship God. Let me not go to the Saints game. And someone called me the other day and said their stomach was hurting, they was upset and everything. I say, you know, and I know that they didn't come to church when we had church or whatever. And I say, well, what happened is your doctor told you about your heart problem and everything, not to watch the news and everything. Well, that Saints game then got them all upset and frustrated, and they felt injustice that we've been cheated on, a lot of people, a lot of stress and fighting and fussing behind that game. But see, with God, if you don't get entangled in this world's affairs and things, I don't care who wins the game. If it was a good game, it was a good game. The referees make mistakes just like I make mistakes. Everybody make mistakes. Right? But see, Paul counted all these things in the world lost because you're not going to find fulfillment in the world. You've always going to feel cheated. That's why Job says it hurt him to his heart to lose his children, to lose all he had. But he said, now I know you. I thought I knew you, but now I know you. And it was through the things he suffered. That's why Paul says if he would give away, and the more things you give up, when you give up BCs and pain medications and all these other things, don't you want to give up something else? Don't you want to go a little bit further just to know the power of God? Through the power of God, you might suffer, you might feel bad, but after a while, that feeling starts to go away because you got on a breastplate of righteousness. It's not how you feel, it's how your mind is, that God gives you a mind to say the pain ain't that bad. Because now I got Jesus, I can feel Jesus. He gave me a greater confidence. The pain pills don't give me the kind of adrenaline that it gives me to know that I'm pleasing or walking in God, and I'm no longer bound to these things. I could save that money and then giving that money away. It says, if I could be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but by trusting on Christ to save me, for God's way of making us right with himself depends upon faith. It is through faith. The righteousness is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering being made conformable to his death. That's how you learn it. Through the fellowship of the suffering. Just like he suffered, we suffer near the end. We gonna suffer. And see, we love pleasure. A lot of people don't like to be in pain. They don't like to do without. They want all the comforts. You remember Solomon say he didn't fail to please himself in every area. But see, sometimes you have to learn to fast. You have to learn to deny yourself. You have to walk away. The same things they did to Jesus, they could do to us. Right? 1 Peter 2:18 to 21 says, so let us servants be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the forward. For this is worthy. This is thankworthy. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, for what glory is it if when you buffet it for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently. This is acceptable with God, for even unto where we call, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us example that we should follow in his steps. This thing been going on for weeks. A lot of these people been working through this shutdown without pay. A lot of them quit and didn't call in or whatever. But see, that tells your Christianity. When he says servants, your masters or whatever, he's talking to employees and everything. The boss man treating you wrong. And a lot of times in my job, I've done things that wasn't according to my job description. I've cleaned bathrooms. I've polished boats. I did all these things that wasn't part of my description. But it says obey God, obey man as unto God. For you're not working to please man. You're working to please God. So as a servant, as a worker to my master that God had put up, I didn't complain. That's one of the reasons I'm preaching today and not on that job or whatever, because I was hurt on that job doing something that I shouldn't be doing. I was cleaning his boat. But when I did get hurt, I was able to get my Social Security the rest of my life. even though they declined me disability, and I got hurt getting that off of his boat. I busted my knees getting down off his boat. But God, he makes a way. Now, I might have still been in the world, still on that job and doing things. If I'd have followed that course in life, a lot of people that didn't quit or lost their job, oh, now you don't have a job. It's going to be hard to find a job now. You end up and quit because your pride won't allow you to do something that he asked you to do. If he's wrong, God's going to pay him back. You go pray and tell God what he's made you to do. These people that's going to work and worked a whole month without their check, God's seeing him. You remember I told you this was a nation that oppressed the poor? Well, if I got to work, I got to borrow money to go to work, and that's slave labor. In other words, you working me without pay, God's going to get you for that. If you look in the book of James, it says the Lord of Sabaoth. In other words, those that hold back, it's in James. Now read James, and he tells you they hold back your wages and they don't pay you due wages. He said, I'm going to take vengeance on you for this. As a nation, we're going to have to pay for this. In other words, you leave that to God. But it's a lot of them, the shutdown is over with. But they don't have a job to go to Monday morning because they quit. Now these will get their back pay, and it's going to be, and it's hard to catch up. And that's why I say, you could identify with them. They're suffering. But it's suffering rightly because you're less than an infidel if you don't take care of your family. You know, it's a many a time that I wanted to walk off my job. Oh boy, but I got 5 kids at home. I got all this stuff to take care of. I got to pay Gulf State. I got to do all this. I need to work. So people treat you all kinds of ways or whatever, but then the word of God said, now you're less than infidel. He said, if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. Now you didn't quit your job because you proud, boastful. You can't lower yourself, but now you come borrow all my money or something. I want a fixed income or something. You won't need looking to me for help. Yeah. Now both of us will suffer if I follow behind you. It is, like I say, we have to be in church so that every situation that you deal with in life, it's in the Word. But they didn't know God. That's why I say, we're people that don't know God, and a lot of us are losing our jobs and quitting because, oh, he's not going to do, he don't suppose it. Well, we know man don't suppose to do a lot of things, but they do. But that don't give you right. When Jeremiah and Isaiah, they was telling him, you go into bondage, you go into slavery. Jeremiah told him, you go into bondage in Babylon. Those that didn't go into bondage, they were disobeying God. And those are the ones he's talking to. Those are the rebels. Those are the ones that's not taking heed to the word of God. He subjected his own sons to be murdered on the cross by wicked men. Jesus hadn't did anything. But he subjected him to that. And Jesus, through obedience, did that for the destruction of the flesh. We have to die daily. We're there for the 1 Peter 4:1-6. Since Christ suffered and underwent pain, you must have the same attitude he did. You must be ready to suffer too. For remember, when your body suffers, sin loses its power and you won't be spending the rest of your life chasing after evil desires, but will be anxious to do the will of God. You've had enough of the past of the evil things that the godless enjoy. Sex, sin, lust, getting drunk, wild parties, drinking bouts and worshiping of violence and other terrible sins. Of course, your former friends will be very surprised when you don't eagerly join them anymore in doing these wicked things. And they will laugh at you with contempt and scorn. But just remember that they must face the judgment of all. Living in the dead, they will be punished for the way they have lived. That is why the good news was preached to us, to those that were dead. So, sometime if we would look at 1 Peter, and Peter talked about a suffering, we're sanctified through this suffering that we're going through. And that's the ones that became the children of God. Those are the ones that God says, you are my children. Those that were obedient, and we look to God in this and concluding this, we looking unto him that through this suffering, according to the foreknowledge of God, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit to the obedience of Jesus Christ and to be sprinkled with his blood, that we're covered in Jesus Christ. And by the grace of God, the peace and the spiritual well-being would grant us this. The blessedly suffer and to go through all this, and that God, according to his abundant mercy, reborns us from above. He gives of his power to endure the suffering. He gives us of his power to go through. We're being transformed by the renewing of our mind. We start thinking differently, that we've lived these ways and we've been beating, we've been bruised, we've been in all kinds of ways. Now we learn through that which we have suffered for those that are not his children that keep butting against that same wall. Well, we're saying we're not going to go through this anymore. We're going to die through this. We're going to be with that same mind that Christ has. We're going to endure what the world throws at us, and we're going to stay in the word of God. In this greatly rejoice, even though for now, for a little while, if necessary, you're distressed by these trials and tribulations, so that the genuineness of your faith, which is much more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested and purified by these sufferings of fire that you're going through, may be found the result in the praise of and the glory of God. He's going to go through that. It is intended that we go through these things. That's how we become the children of God. The prophets had written about this, and they wasn't fulfilled. And we searched the scriptures, and we find that this has come upon us, and that we will have to go through these things to overcome, and that through his spirit we overcome these things and we become the children of the living God. Those that are obedient to his word, that he is making us in his image and his likeness as he did his son. But we see that he chastens each son and scourges each son that he receives. And that suffering is a part of life. And that's a part of eternal life to get into Jesus Christ. So that's how we're not going to rebel against God. That's how we're going to be part of that seed that is from seashore to seashore. That's how we're going to be on the mountain of God. Because though he slay me, yet will we serve him. Though we are cast down, we will get up again. Though people not liking us and going through or whatever, we're not going to rebel against God. We're not going to please the world. We're not going to live as the world. We're not going to listen at the world. We're not going to be conformed to the world, but we're going to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Those of us that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. He says, be holy, for I am holy. So we're trying to be consecrated unto God, set apart, sanctified for his sake. Amen. Sanctified. We are the children of God. But those that he said was his children, he rejects those. Jehu is as valiant as he was. If you read in Hosea, that's where he says he's going to avenge the blood that was done in Jezreel, where through his zeal, his love, he said that he was following God, but he went overboard. It wasn't according to the knowledge of God. So be careful what you do to people, because Jesus Christ told us to love our enemy. But the preachers go tell you eye for eye, tooth for tooth, and they don't understand the word of God. They don't know or have the knowledge of God. Those are the ones you say, I never knew you. The Pharisees, he didn't know of them. See, you can know of a person, but not know that person. You have through the fellowship of suffering. That's what I say. That's when you learn empathy. It's to go into what somebody else is into. That's what Jesus did. He came down here and went into what we were into. He's touched by those infirmities. But if you're shielding yourself from it and you're trying to seek your own pleasures and your own life and thing, you're not his people. You're failing to become the sons of God through unbelief. Faith is not mixed with those works. Faith has to be mixed with your works. Whatever is not of faith is sin. That's why he told him, I never knew you. I never knew you. You can know all of the word of God. You can quote all of the scriptures. But if you don't have intimate fellowship, the fellowship of Christ and his suffering, he will say, depart from me.
eat and work with you. Fly in heaven. Heavenly Father, as we come before you,